podcast, including all of the details of tonight's poetry and music, on the Radio 3 website. All you do is go to bbc.co.uk/radio3/words and music. Well, next week's theme for the programme is clothing. Tailor-made is at 10:15 next Sunday evening here on BBC Radio 3. Well, our edition of Jazz Lineup is going to begin 10 minutes later than usual this week. Julian Joseph will be here at 20 to midnight tonight, which gives me a brief chance to let you know of what's coming up in the first 12 days of the new year. Our next big adventure here on Radio 3. We're clearing the schedules completely to dedicate our airwaves to 24 hours a day, The Genius of Mozart. We're going to play every note he wrote. And much more Mozart besides, a range of programmes and documentaries and drama productions too, on the life and the work of one of the most remarkable musicians of all time. Thank you. Mitsuko Uchida playing the first movement of Mozart's sonata in A minor, Köchel 310, and we'll no doubt be hearing much more from her and her contemporaries who specialise in Mozart's music in the first 12 days of the new year in our major celebration of his music, The Genius of Mozart. Plenty of details of what's in store on the Radio 3 website at bbc.co.uk/Radio 3.
From the dances that made Dvorak's name to Prokofiev's First Symphony, a magical mystery tour through the world of his musical forefathers. Performance on 3 at Manchester's Bridgewater Hall with the Halle Orchestra and Sir Mark Elder. Tuesday night at 7 o'clock on BBC Radio 3.
This is BBC Radio 3. We're broadcasting between 90 and 93 FM on digital radio and also online. It's now 20 to midnight. And a little later than usual, it's time for Jazz Lineup, presented by Julian Joseph.
Hello. A slightly shorter programme this week, but it gives us the opportunity to bring you in total the set from Terence Blanchard and his band after his recent concert at the London Jazz Festival. And I'm happy to say that joining me is Mike Hobart from the Financial Times, who with me will give impressions of the concert. Welcome, Mike. Did you enjoy the concert?
I loved it, Julian. I thought it was a terrific concert, and it's very nice to be asked to come in and talk about it.
Well, we'll definitely get into it in a bit. So let me turn to the man, the composer, and the trumpeter. He emerged as part of a group of musicians from New Orleans, trained by many great players and teachers, including George Jensen, Roger Dickerson, clarinetist Alvin Baptiste, and pianist Ellis Marsalis. And Branford and Wynton Marsalis, Donald Harrison, and Harry Connick Jr. are part of that elite bunch from the Crescent City. In the 1980s, Wynton Marsalis recommended Terence as his replacement in drummer Art Blakey's celebrated Jazz Messengers, and he distinguished himself as another startling virtuoso on the trumpet. Childhood friend Donald Harrison held the alto chair at that time, and when they left the Messengers, they formed their own band, Harrison Blanchard. They went on to record 5 albums for Columbia and run an internationally successful band. In the early 1990s, Terence performed on filmmaker Spike Lee's film about contemporary jazz life with the Branford Marsalis Quartet. It was called Mo Better Blues. From then on, he's consistently and successfully written scores for Spike Lee and other directors, adding another career as a film composer to being a band-leading jazz musician. Here's an extract from one of my favourite Harrison Blanchard albums. In fact, it was their last together, called Black Pearl. This is their tribute to Miles Davis, and it's called Selim Savid.
Thank you.
New Orleans trumpeter and composer Terence Blanchard, with altoist and the composer of that piece, Donald Harrison, taken from the album Black Pearl, recorded in 1988, and that was Salim Savid. And for those of you who haven't worked it out, the title is Miles Davis, spelt backwards. This week, we're playing a concert from Terence Blanchard, recorded at the Barbican Centre at this year's London Jazz Festival. Blanchard follows closely the burgeoning young talent on the scene, and like Miles Davis or his mentor and ex-band leader Art Blakey, is eager to nurture and give them a platform for development in his own band. The gentlemen with him on today's broadcast are his regular band, tenor man Bryce Winston, Cuban pianist Fabian Almazan, new bassist Ben Williams, and long-standing drummer Kendrick Scott. The audience was in a good mood as pianist Robert Glasper, and he'd had drummer Chris Dave and Blanchard himself sit in on their last piece to whip them up into a frenzy. Am I right, Mike?
Yes, you are. It was a lovely ending to the Glasper gig and showed the continuity between, I wouldn't say, from my point of view, the not so young generation and the very young generation.
Sure, sure. And the band, what did you think of the band?
I thought the band were lovely. I mean, I like Terence because he's got this strong sense of tradition, which you got on the very last track with the blues, and he's got that modal, linear flow going on. But he always keeps an eye on to the modern rhythms. Mm. And I particularly like bands that look for the modern rhythms.
Sure.
And he's Kendrick Scott, I thought, in particular, was really the orchestrator of what was going on.
I know that Terence admires him a lot. I mean, Terence, he's an interesting musician because he emerged from this strict disciplined group of overachievers, I'll call them, from New Orleans. And, I mean, his trumpet style is the product of, you know, a sound that combines this great historical span of the jazz tradition, classical training, I guess as interpreted through a young and influential Wynton Marsalis, and, you know, melodic elements that are uniquely Terence Blanchard, this modernism that you were talking about.
Yes, he picks ends of the chord and voicing to get a particular effect. More so, I think, since obviously he's done about 50 film scores now, yeah. I think. And you get quite a sense of almost a cinematic from simple devices. If you try to copy stuff he does off record, it sounds very simple, but it doesn't take long to realise there's a lot going on underneath and very specific voicings, which I like.
Well, let's get to the concert. You were there. It was vibey, it was atmospheric. We had already spoken about how they had sat in with Glasper, Robert Glasper, the pianist. Terence's music has a maturity, a depth, and a connection that I think goes way deeper than what had happened with Glasper.
I would agree with that. I'm a fan of Glasper. Mm. I think it's a bit narrow in spectrum, but I'm a real fan. Mm-hmm. And with Chris Dave, but Terence is in another dimension.
Absolutely.
And another league. To be honest with you,
definitely. Well, he opens with a bass feature. Ben Williams is one of the new players in the group, and he plays confidently with a big sound, and he negotiates steadily through that opening composition, and the other members gradually join in as Williams remains the focal point. But what's interesting about the piece also is that he uses the voice of Dr. Cornel West.
Yes, I have to say that on the album, it's not my favourite part.
Right.
I thought live, it worked much better. I'm still not entirely convinced, probably because of my own preconceptions. I think the Americans are much more at ease with the music making serious statements, so they don't make it sound particularly po-faced. Mm. I think over here we're a bit nervous, maybe, of saying that jazz is a serious music about serious things.
I've never been nervous about that, but that's an interesting insight.
You are an exception. Mm-hmm. You are an exception. Mm. So I felt it worked much better live. Mm-hmm. And it set up that the music wasn't just a wonderful experience, but it actually did connect with very real issues, very tangible issues of today.
They smoothly move into the next piece, which is called A Time to Spare, and it really showcases the energy and the bravura of the band and all of the instrumentalists. after focusing on the bass, it now focuses on the horn players, the pianist Fabian Almazan, and also this very creative drummer, Kendrick Scott. So what was your anticipation when you were sitting there waiting to hear this group?
I was you're never quite sure what the details are going to be, but I was expecting quite a maelstrom, if you like, of events in the rhythm section. And then what Terence does in particularly well is to choose and hold a note for a long time and let the band flow underneath him to create the excitement. And I was looking forward to hearing the tenor player and the keyboard player. It's an interesting keyboard player. Mm-hmm. He's got quite a lot of, I mean, it's like a mix of almost Bill Evans, Herbie Hancock impressionism. Mm-hmm. But he's got that Cuban rhythm going in as well. So it's quite a percussive and individual mix. I like the tenor player. So I was expecting all these riches. And I like Kendrick Scott, the drummer. Mm-hmm. I can't say enough. I think Kendrick makes the band, in a sense. Brings in lots of edgy little trips and flips into the backing that pull you up rhythmically.
Sure. So now to the Barbican Centre, London, for Terence Blanchard and his band. Bryce Winston on tenor. The pianist is Fabian Almazan. Ben Williams is on bass, and Kendrick Scott completes the lineup on drums. And the first piece is called Bass Choices. Terence Blanchard in concert. Thank you.
is continuous with life, and to be able to live the kind of life that I live, which is a certain kind of Socratic calling of raising unsettling questions and prophetic calling of living and dying for justice based on love, understanding that justice is what love looks like in public anyway. Definitely. But then to be able to talk about this present historical moment and the various choices that have taken place. I mean, I think we had to begin by juxtaposing the age of Ronald Reagan with the age of Obama. From 1980 to 2009, you got 29 years. And there was a moment in which, of course, America in 1980 was feeling down, wrestling with a malaise, and Ronald Reagan was a masterful communicator. He made Americans feel good about themselves. You recall he began his campaign by going to Philadelphia, Mississippi, and calling for states' rights. Now, Philadelphia, Mississippi is where three precious civil rights.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you very much. How you guys doing? Let me introduce you to these guys in this band. I'm very proud of all of them. We're going to start with our pianist. He comes from Havana, Cuba. This guy's amazing, though. Great pianist. He lives in New York City now. Great composer. Fabian Almazan at the piano. Our bassist is brand new. He's from Washington, D.C., but he's doing a great job. He's a brilliant young bassist, a graduate of the Juilliard School of Music. He's something else. How about another round of applause for Ben Williams at the bass? Our drummer's from Houston, Texas. He is the most creative drummer I've played with ever in my career. I'll tell you that right now, hands down. This guy does something different every night. I'm not kidding you. I'm not saying that just because he's standing behind me and I owe him money. But he does. He's amazing. How about a nice round of applause for Kendrick Scott at the drums? Our tenor saxophone comes from where it all began, the history of this music. He comes in a line of long, great jazz musicians who were pioneers in the world of jazz. He's from Tucson, Arizona. You know good and damn well you've never heard Arizona and jazz in the same sentence. How about a nice round of applause? Bryce Winston at the tenor saxophone.
That was Terence Blanchard, and we'll pause for a moment. I'm with Mike Hobart from the Financial Times, who was there at the concert. It's an exciting interpretation of tenor man Bryce Winston's composition, A Time to Spare. Before that, the leader Terence Blanchard's bass choices, featuring his bassist Ben Williams, and he concluded with the voice of Dr. Cornell West. And before we go into the next phase of choices, which they then do as an ensemble, the two pieces that we've already heard the band do have taken us on quite a journey.
They've really taken us on a journey from a solo bass from a young guy who's just come into the band, we find out, and then the band gradually grow in, and Bryce Winston's piece is a real up-tempo sort of modal rumbo with those signposts, and there's all sorts of tumults going on. So you've really gone through a lot of musical landscapes in the first, quarter of an hour or so, and the appetite is very much whetted for what's about to come. I can remember feeling really good.
This is Jazz Lineup on BBC Radio 3, playing the Terence Blanchard concert recorded at the London Jazz Festival on Sunday the 14th of November. So back to the concert at the Barbican Centre, and he continues with the band version of Choices.
That's right, which I thought was an interesting idea, particularly after Dr. West's introduction. Mm-hmm. It made the connection between the idea of personal choices and social responsibility more real, if it were more tangible, with the way the music was struck. So I thought that was very, very interesting. I didn't dwell too long, though, because once the music started, it wafted you away, and it started, if I remember, as quite an elegiac piece. And the ballad, and as you will hear, it does definitely move elsewhere, and the choices are obviously quite difficult to make. I thought it was a really cracking idea.
And I mean, there's this great sense of calm, I think, with each of the soloists, and then they can take it on their journey, and then it sort of pulls back into itself, and the next soloist will take the journey. So first it's Bryce on the tenor, then Terence. And then it calms down into a sort of pianism and a exchange between Terence and the pianist Fabian. And then Dr. West then concludes it by talking about Beethoven first and moving into linguistic eloquence and deep courage and things like that. And it combines as a coda to the piece, and then they play that last melodic fragment. So it really takes you right to the last note. The piece that they then continue with is called Wandering Wonder, which I know also comes from Flow.
That's right.
And it takes the energy right up again.
Doesn't it just? It also makes you, it makes you want to do things. That's what's so great about the music. It doesn't make you just a passive receiver of wonderful things. It just makes you feel good about yourself, funnily enough, and makes you want to do things and be creative. Jazz is a wonderful music. That's what it should do. That's what Art Blakey used to do, and Terence has got that knack of making you feel better about things, really, but not in a sentimental way, in a very hard-nosed, I think, way. So okay. it's fantastic stuff.
Sort of optimistically energizing.
That's right. Optimism of the will. Maybe pessimism of the intellect there as well.
Oh, I like that. Well, okay, let's get back to the concert at the Barbican Centre. And here's the Terence Blanchard Band. And he continues with the band version of Choices.
And there's something about the humanity of a person. Because how do we prepare for death? See, that's what it is to deal with humano. What does it mean to be a featherless, two-legged, linguistically conscious creature born between urine and feces whose body will be the culinary delight of terrestrial worms one day? That's the death sentence in space and time for each and every one of us. And it comes down to what? Choice. What kind of human being you're going to be? How you going to opt for a life of decency and compassion and service and love? What goes into that kind of choice? You see what I mean? That's the human challenge, man. That's the human challenge. Thank you. Beethoven says that music is deeper than philosophy. That's why I got that picture of Ludwig looking at that brother every day. He said, well, Ludwig, what do you mean music is deeper than philosophy? He says, well, because in the end, we finite creatures, we don't have a language or even a linguistic eloquence that can begin to be fully truthful to the experiences that we have the short time we're here in time and space. So therefore we need some sounds, even some noise, organized noise. We need silence between the notes and the sounds that get at the deeper truths of who we are. Now that's not a statement against linguistic eloquence, but it's one that recognizes the varieties of eloquence. And therefore it requires a deep courage.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Once again, Fabian Almazan at the piano. Ben Williams at the bass. Kendrick Scott at the drums. Bryce Winston at the tenor saxophone. We'd like to thank you guys for coming. We really hope that you had a good time. Hope that you enjoyed yourself as much as we enjoyed playing for you. On behalf of Robert Glasper, the band, and myself, may God bless and keep you. Thank you very much. You guys take care.
I consider myself a jazz man in the realm of ideas, a blues man in the life of the mind, because my model, jazz musicians and blues men, who have to find their voices, not just be echoes. We have to have a vision, not just a stand. And in the end, have to be true to themselves, because all imitation is suicide. All emulation is a sign of the adolescent mind. Now, all of us imitate, all of us emulate. But the ones who love us, the way Monk loved Coltrane, you don't need to imitate Johnny Hodges. Go on and find him.
The formidable Terence Blanchard and his band ending on a blues called Bounce, with the voice of Dr. Cornel West on the very end, philosophizing. Before that, we heard Wandering Wonder, which opened with the solo trumpet of Blanchard and kicked off this last portion of the band version of Choices, which started and ended with the voice of Dr. Cornel West. Well, throughout this enjoyable treat of listening to Terence Blanchard in concert at the Barbican at the London Jazz Festival has been Mike Hobart. Did that concert encapsulate everything you wanted to see and in what your expectation was of Terence Blanchard?
Yeah, very much so. I've seen him quite a few times, particularly at Ronnie's and at Cork, and he filled the Barbican with that sense of controlled energy that he's got. And he ends it with the blues, which goes right back. It's the nearest thing to Winton, really, that he did. But he did it as a slightly spikier thing. Mm. Nice little riff and a funny little off-kilter jumble at the end to make you think, ah. And I left feeling terrific. It's a fantastic concert.
Sometimes I wonder if Winton didn't change direction and go so far back into history, whether we would have had two artists sort of treading a very similar path.
I think we probably would. Mm. Winton's journey is a very tough one, and I've got an enormous respect for him. I'm more at home with Terence's band projects, particularly his small bands. It's what I prefer, what I want to hear. And with Winton, I've got this dazzling soloist, and you've got this fantastic big band, and you've got this very necessary sense of history played properly, and I love it. It's absolutely fantastic.
Why do you think it's so necessary?
Because it's the roots of the music today. I've just done a piece on Duke Ellington for the FT on the 30s stuff, and I'm finding it very hard to get away from Duke Ellington.
Yeah,
I'm finding the voices go from Duke Ellington through 50s R&B, which I used to play, B.B. King stuff, right into James Brown. How to make a 3 or 4-piece horn section sound fat and rich and opulent. Mm. And I wish I'd knew much more about Duke Ellington from the early days, because you wouldn't spend so much time flapping about, for a start, on the practical side. But there's a whole number of ways. I think it is important. It's important. You play it in the moment, but for goodness sake, what you're playing has got a real history which you can learn from.
And I think also is that the music that it's all based on, that everything that we call modern is based on, is there, and we've got a disconnect. And Winton has very importantly, in fact, all of these New Orleans musicians from Branford, Winton, Terence, Donald Harrison, Harry Connick Jr., they reconnected us
absolutely
with this history that in a sense had become covered over and almost completely dismissed.
I think so. Louis especially. Mm. I mean, I remember when I first started, I got with people like Paul Bley, actually, saying it's all in Louis Armstrong, Miles Davis, Charlie Parker. Go listen to Louis. And you did. I keep going back to Louis and hearing the way he phrased between the cracks of the beat. And it's all in there. It's all in there. It's a chromatic. And Winton's simple statement that jazz comes in as a modernist music with Jelly Roll Morton and Louis Armstrong, I think people should take note of that.
Yeah.
It wasn't a traditional music. It was a modernist music,
that's
which
right.
has stayed contemporary. And I think if the young guys coming up read that and get a bit more humility, they'll practice the right things and sound terrific.
Possibly.
Like these guys did.
Absolutely. Try and measure up with really great...
Yeah, absolutely.
These grandsons of...
The grandsons of the greats.
Of the greats. It's true. Well, thank you so much, Mike, for coming in to speak to us. It's really good to listen to this music with someone who obviously loves the artist and loves this music.
Oh, thank you very much, Julian. It's been a real pleasure.
Well, that's it for this week. My thanks to Mike Hobart of the Financial Times for commenting on today's concert. Next week, superstar vocalist Cassandra Wilson drops by the Jazz Lineup Studios. And there's also a concert set from a cappella ensemble and Pride of Scotland, Brass Jaw. Jazz on 3 on Monday night is a solo concert by American pianist Jerry Allen, recorded at this year's London Jazz Festival. Till next week, from me, Julian Joseph, bye-bye.
This is Through the Night on Radio 3, and I'm Susan Sharp, delighted to have your company. The Orchestra della Svizzera Italiana, the Swiss-Italian Orchestra, is giving the concert this morning, playing music by Prokofiev, Strauss and Kurt Weill. Before hearing Weill's Second Symphony, I'll be dropping in two other works, the septet by Saint-Saëns and a performance by Christian Zacharias of Beethoven's Third Piano Concerto. First then to Prokofiev. The year is 1917, and looking back on it, Prokofiev wrote, "It seemed to me that had Haydn lived in our day, he'd have retained his own style while accepting something of the new at the same time. That was the kind of symphony I wanted to write."
Thank you.